Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. I'm reminded about what one Protestant had asked me about Our Lady. Where is the Blessed Mother in scriptures? The Blessed Mother, according to Cardinal Newman, Blessed Cardinal Newman, she's on every page of scripture. We see that today in the first reading from Ecclesiastes. They that find me shall have life. They that teach me shall have life everlasting. What a wonderful promise for all of us here today on the first Saturday of the month, in accord with what Our Lady had asked, that Fatima, as a means of reparation, a most wonderful plan, very simple, very good, the five first Saturdays. I often tease and kid, make a joke out of it. That's the Fatima secret. So many people don't know about the five first Saturdays. We can almost forget about all the apocalyptic visions of the third secret, and what's going to happen at the end times and so on. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Don't worry about it. If it's going to happen from God, it's going to be good. And in the end, Our Lady said, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. More important is to do the first five Saturdays because of the promise. Our Lady promises that she will be there at the end of our lives with all the graces necessary for us to save our soul. What could be more important than that? To save your soul, and if you've been praying, save the souls of others with the five first Saturdays. One of the most important parts of the five first Saturdays is confession. We know about the communion, of course. That's important, to receive Holy Communion, because Jesus says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life everlasting, and I will raise him up on the last day. So we receive Holy Communion. And then we do pray five decades of the Rosary. So important. One of the promises of Our Lady to Blessed Alan is that those who pray the Rosary, it's a sign of predestination. It's a sign you love the Rosary, you'll be saved. That simple. You can't go about and do all kinds of crazy things thereafter and say, well, I'm saved. That's not true. You have to live accordingly. So praying the Rosary is very important. And of course, keeping Our Lady company for 15 minutes, thinking and praying about meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary. That's not as difficult as you think it is. Just take the mysteries of the Rosary and talk to Our Lady about it. She's in almost every mystery. Tell her your feelings and your thoughts. Keep me company, meditating about the Rosary. And then receive confession, go to confession 8 days before or 8 days after the first Saturday. This is a most important one. So many people today are so careless about confession, really. All right? They should be going every 2 weeks to confession. Why? Because if you're devout and you want to get the indulgences that you can make, in order to get an indulgence, you have to have gone to confession 8 days before or 8 days after you're getting the indulgence. You have to receive Holy Communion at the time, one at the day, received to get the indulgence, or thereafter, and then to go to confession and do the required prayers, which would be the family rosary and whatever, making the stations and other things. There's many ways you can get plenary indulgences. You can only get one a day, of course. But it's still important. So that's why it's important to go to confession frequently. Padre Pio said of people who don't go to confession, silly child, careless child, you do not realize all the graces that you will get with confession. And when you think about it, confession is really miraculous. We know that Jesus cured the body by delivering people from all kinds of sins, sicknesses, and so on. But he also cured the soul. And that's a more important thing. Go and sin no more. Thy sins are forgiven. That's a most important thing. Jesus is the only one who can take away sins. That's why when John the Baptist saw him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Even the Jews knew when they criticized Jesus, who is he? Because only God can take away the sin, take away sin. Yes, only God can take away sin. But he has given that power to the priest in the church of seven sacraments, the sacrament of penance. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. This is why Chesterton wanted to become a Catholic, because he said, I wanted to find a church in which my sins would be forgiven. What do people do who carry on their back a load of sins throughout their life? And as you know, sin is a slippery slope. And if you're committing sin day after day, and many of the sins are addictive, think of all the sins that a soul has. Sometimes people come to confession and they say they did this and they did that. And I say, how many times did you do it? And they did it. They said, I do it every day or twice a day or whatever. And I said, well, you've been away for 10 years and you've missed Mass most of the time. So we add up the number of sins, you know, 10 times, let's say 50. If they missed every day, it's 500 mortal sins. So, and they neglect all the other things that they're supposed to doing. You can have many, many, many sins. And even if they be like scarlet, Isaiah says, though your sins be like scarlet, they should be as white as snow, wiped away. So my dear friends, this is a most wonderful promise, providing we're sorry for them and we go to confession and do what we're supposed to do. But when we go to confession, we also have to be very careful, because many people are careless. I'm reminded of a particular passage from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Feigned ignorance and hardness of heart do not lessen guilt, but increase it. What does that mean? That means when you go to confession and you pretend the ignorance, pretended ignorance. All right? Some people live their lives and they don't want to know something. I don't want to ask the priest this, or I don't want to know this, because they're afraid. Just take, for example, contraception. Maybe people are contracepting and they don't realize, I don't know how it's possible, but possible, that it's a mortal sin. So they have feigned ignorance. They got the thought that maybe they should check the catechism or check the books, or certainly ask the priest in confession, is contraception a mortal sin? And that's important. Because if you're not sure and you don't ask, that's feigned ignorance, pretended ignorance. And the Holy Spirit will always enlighten you to what you're supposed to do in confession. Even ask questions if you're not sure. Father, is this a sin? Is that a sin? So you ask. All right, so if you have pretended ignorance, people have come to me with doing contraception for years, living a life of contraception. They thought it was the thing to do. Somebody told them, you're not supposed to have so many children, or you can't afford it, or there's too many children in the world already, and so on and so forth, and you don't want to pollute the environment with more people on the earth, and all that nonsense. So they practice contraception. Also, with contraception, they don't want to do all the work that children require. So this is a big, big sin. In fact, John Vianney, the Curé of Ars, said in the 19th century, there are many women in hell today because they would not accept the children God wanted to give them. So they practice contraception. Or, as to use the words of one person, they practice natural contraception. What? Natural contraception. It's a thing that somebody made up in the confessional. She didn't know what she was saying, but she was brilliant because she was practicing family planning. and she called it natural contraception. When you think about it, it's a little true. Natural contraception. People practice natural contraception, as it were, or they do family planning because they don't want any more children. Now, you can only use natural family planning, according to Pope Pius XII, for serious reasons. Serious reasons. So there's, again, feigned ignorance. If you're not sure what's a serious reason, then you better check with your confessor. And you better make sure your confessor is going to give you the right truth, because not all of them are on the same page. Not everybody believes the same thing. Maybe he also was, the confessor, was misguided, never heard about Pius XII saying that, and was taught that this is a way to go, all right? So they allow family planning. No, you cannot do it unless you have a serious reason. So make sure you get to a good priest, and you make sure he tells you this, and you could mention that about Pius XII and what he said. One priest told me that you can't practice family planning unless you have a serious reason. Father, is that true? And the priest may say, gee, I'm not sure, but I'll look it up for you. I'll try to find out for you. Right? He may not know. Right? I didn't know until I read it just, you know, years ago. Then I just read it again the other day, and it was very, very important. Because I've heard confessions, people living in sin in a way, they don't realize it, right? But maybe they got the thought in their head, again, feigned ignorance, that they should check with the priest in confession. Father, is this a sin? We've been doing family planning, all right? And the priest will tell you, I'll tell you. You cannot use it unless you have a serious reason. What's your serious reason? And they sometimes just don't even give me one. Children are a big problem, and we have a lot of problems in our home, and we don't have a lot of money, and we don't have this, and we don't have that. Hey, my dear friends, God's not going to give you children in your life, in your family, unless you can take care of them. And if he's going to give you children, he's going to help you to take care of them. Don't we say, give us this day our daily bread? We've got to have faith. But some people are so careless. And they can live a life like this, and they go to confession weekly, but they don't tell the priest everything. I sometimes ask, that's why I ask, once in a while I'll ask about contraception. And, you know, then they tell me their children, and they got a 10, an 8, and a 9-year-old, let's say. And I've mentioned to one woman, I says, oh, how wonderful it is for you to have all these children. Three boys, wonderful. And she says, and I didn't say anything to her. She says, oh, I've done my bit. That's enough for me. No more for me. I've done enough. That's enough. No more for me. You hear that all the time. And maybe if they say that enough times to themselves, maybe they'll convince themselves. But it's a lie. Right? So was she practicing contraception? Probably. Or she believed in it. And the fact that she had three right off the bat and then no more. So then I usually ask them, are you open to life? Do you want any more children? Do you practice contraception? And sometimes they'll say yes, and sometimes they'll say no. And then sometimes they'll say they do that, and they have all kinds of methods. And I says, well, you have to no longer practice that, and you have to get rid of your diet, your apparatuses and so on, and you cannot have contraception in your marriage. So it's important. Sometimes they have to do it surgically, and I say to them, come back to me when you've done it, then we'll give you the absolution. So that's important, that you make a good confession and get rid of your sins. And get rid of any feigned ignorance and hardness of heart. That's another one. That's what I mean, hardness of heart. I mean, I've told people that they can't practice contraception. And I says, are you going to practice it anymore? Yes, they say. I says, how can you do that? I can't give you absolution then. And they say, that's okay. Maybe they'll say under their breath, I'll go to another priest and maybe get absolution. I'm not coming back to you. So that's not good, of course. Hopefully the other priest will tell him the same thing, but that's not always true. The priest has a very big responsibility to tell the, to be strong and to know the faith. One of our priests used to tell us a story about a man who had a mistress. And he'd go to confession every week, and he'd go to his mistress every week. And finally his wife says, "How could you go to confession and keep on committing the same sin?" And he says, "My priest gives me absolution. Who are you, a theologian? You a theologian? You're no theologian. I go to my priest gives me absolution." Later, years later, he dies. And he comes back to visit his wife is praying, and he's in hell. He's in hell. And he says, "You were right. You were right. I wasn't given absolution, didn't take, as it were." And she sees him sitting on top of somebody. And she says, what do you do? What are you sitting? Who are you sitting on?" "I'm sitting on my priest. Because he gave me absolution and it didn't do it, give me a good confession, he has to carry me around for all eternity in hell." I'm pretty sure that's a pretty true story. If not, sounds good. All right? We don't know what hell's like, but certainly if you go to hell, you're going to be the people you're responsible for, you're going to suffer with them, and they're going to be cursing you the whole time of eternity. "You forgave me my sins when you shouldn't have. It's because of you that I'm here. If you had not forgiven me, if you had delayed my absolution and made sure I was doing what was right and not committing these sins week after week, I wouldn't be here." So that man will be cursing his priests for all eternity. And that's what happens in hell. People will curse those who are with them. That's why in the story of Dives and Lazarus, Dives doesn't want his brothers to come to hell. And he says, "Father Abraham, send somebody back to tell them about hell." And Father Abraham says, "No, they have the prophets. That's enough. They don't believe the prophets, they're not going to believe even if somebody comes from the dead." He wasn't practicing charity. He was practicing selfishness because he didn't want his five brothers to come to hell and curse him for all eternity. And that's what's going to happen in hell. Those people who are negligent and responsible for others and they cause them to go to hell will suffer greatly from these people who come back who will be cursing them for all eternity, for not doing what they should have done in life. So, that being said, my dear friends, I hope that some of this is a little bit interesting for you, because the forgiveness of sins is so important, and we have to be truthful and forthright. And we must study our faith, and we must know what's right. And if we don't know what's right, or we have any questions, we check with the priest. We check with the priest, and we ask the priest, and so on. And I, as a priest, have a big responsibility. Most of the time, I usually know the answer, but sometimes I don't. And I says, "Well, I'm not sure of that one. I'll check out with a few sources, talk to a few people, check out a few books, and then I'll get back to you." And I take their telephone number, or I tell them, give them my phone number, give me a call on next week, and I'll give you the answer. Because I don't want to be responsible for anybody's sins, right? And that's why one of the reasons why I try to be firm in confession, because I have a grave responsibility. And if people don't like hearing what I have to say, and it's the truth, then I have to say it for their sake, and of course for my own sake. So there's a few ideas on confession, which is a wonderful, most wonderful sacrament, something we should take advantage of. Go at least once a month for the first Saturdays, ideally every 2 weeks, so that you can get the indulgences. And let us thank God for this most wonderful gift, because it is a miracle beyond all miracles that our souls will be wiped clean of all sin. All sin. "Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall become as white as snow." So we thank God for this wonderful gift. And we pray, and use this, by the way, in your talking to Protestants. Where are you going to get rid of your sins? Only the Catholic Church has confession and believes in confession. Where are you going to get rid of your sins? That's important, because we don't want to die with all the sins on our soul. I don't know how people can even live with themselves during life, because their conscience will always bother them, right? At least it should, unless they deaden it with all kinds of drugs and alcohol and loud music and everything else. It's very sad. But sometimes God can get into their heads, and as we know, a guilty conscience needs no accuser. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is always, always reminding us of our sins. So much so, I'm sure some of you get reminded, you'd rather do what's right than be reminded all the time with a guilty conscience. You did this, and you did that, and you did this, and you did that. Don't do this, don't do that, and so on. It's the most wonderful thing, the Holy Spirit, the Hound of Heaven, who reminds us of our sins, to drive us to the confessional so that we can get rid of our sins through the absolution of the priest. Let us pray and sacrifice that many souls, as Our Lady says, will be saved because we pray and sacrifice. Pray and sacrifice for many souls who go to hell because no one prays and sacrifices for them. Make sure they get to confession, and that will be a means for them to get to heaven. May the Lord bless you.